The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Did you see Esteban right there? He's just really feeling it.
He looks
Bienvenidos a Miami.
Excuse me.
Yes,
excuse me.
Yeah.
When I am in South Beach, I will remind you, Miss Spanish lesson taken, Molly Karam.
Yeah,
it is Esteban, not Esteban.
Oh,
Esteban. Remember
it's
that.
Esteban.
Hey, doggy.
Buenos dias, como estas?
Como esta? What's going on, my man?
I love South Beach too, baby. But I wanted Milwaukee and Memphis in that NBA final in the worst freaking way, and I didn't get it. Unbelievable.
That's right. That's right.
Did you have
the
a
gods
great time
were on my side.
Yeah, we I did.
Saw a lot
you of
had a great trip?
Saw a lot of cows and sheep, but
oh,
I went
fun.
To the Cliff of Moors on the West Coast,
gorgeous.
And I went over the little rail. They let you go over the little rail, and it was windy, and one gust of wind, and I would have been in the rocks, baby.
Oh, my goodness.
Finished!
Oh, my.
But
Benito,
I survived.
You know what? I'm glad you went sightseeing. Stephen A. sightseeing, too, in Miami, but it's not cows and sheep. I can promise
you that.
I would tell you this. When you bring up Milwaukee and Memphis, that would have been Bratwurst versus Elvis. Didn't match. Didn't make any sense. This is where we need to be. Let's go.
All right. Stephen A., we're one game in the right direction for you to be there for quite some time. Let's get into it. But, fellas, really, it was a tale of two halves because Boston came into that game with Al Horford or Marcus Smart, but led for most of the first. Then the second half, the heat was turned up behind a huge third quarter from Jimmy Buckets to take game one in a 118-107 victory. Butler put up 41-9-5. He's at the mic.
More than anything, it just shows us what we're capable of whenever we worry about getting stops, getting into the open floor, getting to the free throw line, all of those good things. It just reminds me that we can do it. I see it on this piece of paper. I lived it, so I expect us to be able to do that every quarter from here on out.
Got out tough, out physical. They looked like they came out in the second half. You know, and wanted to up their physicality and aggression and on both ends, and they did that.
You know, Christopher Mad Dog Russo, I want the Celtics to win. My father's a diehard Celtics fan. But I got to ask you this, especially watching that third quarter. Have we underestimated the greatness of Jimmy Butler and the Heat?
I think I certainly have. I know you're going to play a little video of me killing him. I didn't kill him. But
excuse me. Don't tell the audience. I'm the one who teases things. Give me your take here, buddy.
Well, here's what I would say about this game yesterday. First off, I think the Celtics were going to win in six games, so let's put that on the table here first. I thought the Celtics be a little flat yesterday early on based on the quick turnaround from beating the Bucks on Sunday afternoon. By the way, was one of the worst game sevens I've ever seen played with 88 threes shot in 48 minutes. I couldn't deal with it. Too many threes. But I thought that the Celtics would have a little trouble yesterday. So the fact that the game, to me, the most surprising part of it is the Celtics had that 13-point lead in the first half, led it to half, and you figured they got around the fatigue, had recovered from the two injuries with Smart and, of course, Horford and health protocols, so you thought they were in good shape. And that third quarter is a huge, you know, that would worry me if I'm a Celtic fan. I want to hear about they won the other three quarters. Nobody cares. They got outscored 39-14 in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
That's all people care about. Nobody cares they won the first, second, or fourth. They got destroyed in that third quarter. So that'll alarm me a little bit. If they lost the game, just lost the game outright, okay. But the fact they had a 13-point lead in a half and then lost basically by double digits, that would concern me. As far as Butler is concerned, before I throw it to Stephen A., listen, you love him because he makes his free throws.
Uh-huh.
He gets to the free throw line. He fills up his box score. I didn't like him not playing game five against Atlanta last time we were here. You know what? They won that game anyway. He's going to give you a good 40 minutes every night. He doesn't necessarily have to shoot a million threes.
Yeah.
Not afraid of taking a big shot. I got to see more. Stephen A. now is going to put him on the pantheon of the all-time greats.
Uh-huh.
I got to see a little more besides game one of a conference final. But if you're a basketball fan, which we all are,
yeah.
You have to be very impressed with how Butler sort of set the tempo, steals, and everything else. Mm-hmm. I still think the Celtics win. I still think they win in six games. But obvious, and here's one other thing before Stephen A. They won game six in Milwaukee facing elimination. 46 Tatum, we all know the fourth quarter. They won game six in Milwaukee. So let's not be an alarmist and say, oh, the Celtics are now dead.
Yeah.
Because if they won a six game in Milwaukee against the defending champs,
no,
they
right.
can bounce back after game one against the Heat.
You're right.
Well, first of all, let me just say this. Boy, did I miss you. It's good to see you, my man. It's good to see you, you know, because, I mean, nobody throws up the lobs better than you. Better than you. Uh-huh. You and your preemptive strikes where you try to throw something out there to preempt what I'm about to say. Well, guess what, Dougie? It doesn't work for you this time. It never has, and it's not going to work for you today. So Mad Dog Russo bringing up Jimmy Butler. I know, Stevie. He's just going to throw that stuff out about Jimmy Butler. Well, could y'all please play the tapes of exactly what I'm talking about since Doggy brought it up. Could you roll that tape for me, please? I really would like to see it again.
Jimmy Butler is going to sit there and he's going to be, Kareem? He's going to be Jerry West? Let's take it easy. Oscar Robertson? Let's take it easy. Let me see them now go out there and turn around and beat Philly. Beat Harden, who's got a lot of pressure on him, as Stephen A. has told us forever. And go beat Embiid. When they do that, we can sit there and we can start putting Jimmy Butler on this elevated plateau where everybody, including our little partner here, wants to put him at. You guys like to put these players. You guys, all of you. I mean, can we see some hardware?
See what I'm saying? You know, he just gave it to me. I mean, he didn't waste any time. He sat up there and just threw me that lob. Didn't even wait an hour to do it. He gave it to me right off the top of the show. It's just beautiful setup. Because the fact of the matter is, Mad Dog Russo, you have underestimated Jimmy Butler. Now, Jimmy Butler thinks it's all of us. He thinks it's all of us. I mean, he's walking around thinking, hey, y'all have underestimated me. I'm going to show y'all something. But we also understand that with stars, they create things. They manufacture things to elevate their level of motivation so they can go at particular opponents. I'm not taking it personal. No problem at all. The bottom line is I got the Celtics winning this series. Because Horford and Smart were out yesterday, I pretty much knew they would lose this game, which is what I said prior to the game. They wasn't going to win this game. Without Smart and Horford, they need at least one of them, particularly Smart, I might add, when you consider the level of toughness that the Miami Heat put on display last night. I still think the Celtics will win this series in seven games, but that's with the assumption that both Smart and Horford will be available. If they're talking about Horford missing 3 to 4 games in this series, the Celtics are not winning this series over these Miami Heat. And I think the third quarter showed us why. They came out. We got to put this in its proper perspective, Doggy. They came out of the locker room and bum-rushed the Boston Celtics. For that quarter, they punked the Boston Celtics. That's why you saw Marcus Smart screaming at them. That's why you saw Ime Udoka in players' faces like we've never seen him before. That's why we saw Grant Williams giving pushback and what have you. Because Udoka was like, what the hell is going on here? You're Jason Tatum. We all know that Jason Tatum is a star. This brother's got an incredible future. I think there are championships on the horizon for him. No shade on him whatsoever in terms of his resume, his potential, what the future holds. Specifically and only regarding the third quarter, what the hell was wrong with Jason Tatum? I mean, you sit up there, you only attempt 2 shots. You turn over the ball 6 times.
Yep. Oh,
6 times he turned the ball over in the third quarter. And Miami, led by Jimmy Butler, but also assisted by everybody else, were all over the Boston Celtics. What they did was they used the Celtics formula against them. The Celtics did it to them in the first half. They came out in the third quarter and said, who the hell are we? You have Kyle Lowry and Udonis Haslem and Jimmy Butler and the veterans in that locker room. P.J. Tucker, let's not forget him and the intensity he brings to the table, which is why Milwaukee never should have lost him. They never should have let him go. The bottom line is they're in that locker room and they're saying, who the hell are we? Let's take it to them. And they were physical. They were up in the Boston Celtics like a pair of drawers. I mean, it was crazy. And they just took their heart right out of their chest for those 12 minutes, and it was too much to overcome. That's what happened. Game one, I do not believe it will happen like that again this series, but for the third quarter last night only, the Boston Celtics got punked, and they got their hearts stripped right out of their chest. And that's why they're down 0-1 in this series.
Well, you're right about Tatum in the third quarter. Let me do a little mulligan on that, Molly, because about a month ago, he makes me do these lists, and I sort of hesitated about putting Tatum in the top 10. Dead wrong. Top 10, we all know he's been a phenomenal postseason player here in these two series. So let me take a little. I'm not going to take a mulligan on all the things he says. And we'll do a little Chris Paul a little later on.
Yeah, yeah.
With the 1 point in the first half in game seven at home, losing by 50 points.
Will you stop telling the show? Hey. You got to wait.
I'm in Ireland, and I get a message from the big guy.
Point God.
I said to myself, when I watched that pathetic performance on Sunday, I said, you know what? I don't know him well enough to throw it right back at him. So I didn't, but I'll say it now loudly. Point God. Oh, baby Doncic on Sunday afternoon. But having said that, let's take a mulligan with Tatum. So let's do that. Before we all, and him and I are in agreement with the Celtics, let's be careful. They lost game one to Milwaukee. Everybody said, boy, the Bucks and Giannis, they beat them badly in Boston. Celtics are in big trouble. And that was a home game.
Yeah.
Everybody said when they blew the 14-point lead in game five. I didn't see it. I was counting sheep at that time at 3 o'clock in the morning. And the games, by the way, are on in Ireland at 12:30 at night on Sky TV. So if you want to watch the five-hour difference, you can. That one I didn't
see. Thank you for that plug.
You got it. That one I didn't see. But, you know, everybody thought after they blew a 14-point lead that they were dead in game six and they bounced back. They deserve a little respect.
Hold on.
Third quarter by Miami. They did an excellent job.
The first
game does not make a series, Mr. Smith.
I got it. I agree with that, which is why I said Celtics in seven, if you heard me correctly. But did you just give a little dissertation about how to watch NBA action in Ireland? Is that what you just did?
I told you that. Yes, I did.
He's here for the people. Hey, by the way, I can barely hear Stephen A. right now. So, guys, let me tee up this next topic and then deal with my audio issues. Okay, Stephen A., if you can hear me.
Yes.
Obviously, gentlemen, second half adjustments, right? A major factor here for Miami, the veteran coaching by one of the best in the game, and that would be Eric Spoelstra. So it was quite a time in Heat history when LeBron was in town for four of Spoelstra's five finals appearances, including both championship trophies, came during the Kings' reign. Spoelstra was named one of the 15 greatest coaches in NBA history, part of NBA 75. Russo, I'll start with you. So what's at stake for Spoelstra specifically in this series?
Well, he did a great job 2 years ago in the bubble, getting him into a final. To me, I cannot make him top 15 coaches in the history of the NBA. We'll do a little of that later on. I can't do that. He won the two championships with LeBron. He also lost two finals with LeBron. One he should never have lost.
Wait, what's
Dallas.
Wrong with winning two with LeBron?
Should have won four.
Okay.
They lost with
Lord.
Hold on now. They lost to Dallas. There's no way they ever should have lost that series. You know better than that. That was terrible when Nowitzki beat them. They shouldn't have lost that series. And he also, of course, lost another series with San Antonio where they got routed in five games. But I'm not here to sort of say that, you know, this about sports. But again, everybody here at this, especially him, he should know better. We put these coaches on these incredible levels. He's this, he's that, he's this. John Kundra should be in the top 15. He coached the Minnesota in the 50s, who won four
my
titles.
God.
It drives you crazy. I like Spoelstra. I love Riley.
Oh,
I know what he's done. But can he win a championship without LeBron and Wade before we put him on these incredible levels and your little cohorts like to do? Can we see some of that first?
First of all, you're utterly ridiculous. You're so ridiculous about this. If I hear you talking about this on your radio show, I'm calling in. It's ridiculous. Let's count the ways. Is Phil Jackson a top 15 coach of all time? Of course he is.
Yeah,
who was he coaching?
Hold on.
I'm going down the list. Let me speak, sir. Here, Mr. Ireland. Listen to me right now, okay? So you got Jordan. You got Pippen. You got Rodman, all right? Okay, and then you had Shaq and Kobe. All right, we got Pat Riley. Oh, I'm sorry. Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, James Worthy, Byron Scott, Norm Nixon. Before that, Michael Cooper, Michael Thompson, and the rest of the crew. Bob McAdoo, for crying out loud. We got Pat Riley, okay? You look at that. All right, we got Chuck Daly. Oh, what are we talking about here? Isaiah Thomas, Joe Dumars, and the Bad Boys. All right, let's count the ways. Let's go from there. We got We got Klay Thompson. We got the greatest shooting backcourt in the history of basketball. We holding that against them? Of course we're not doing that. We got Greg Popovich. We got Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, David Robinson, Tony Parker. Are we holding that against them? No. Hell with it. Let's go to Red Auerbach. Let's go back to the times you're so familiar with. When you got Red, when you sat up there and you got Red Auerbach, Bill Russell. All right, Bob Cousy, Havlicek, and the rest of the crew. Sam Jones, you think I forgot about his name? Of course I did it. All right, we got that going on. Let's go with the Knicks, because God forbid I don't remember the Knicks. The only time they ever were relevant winning championships in 69 and 73, or 70 and 73, rather. Who do we have here? The Butcher, Bradley, Reed, Frazier. I mean, come on now. And you going to sit up here with a straight face in the year 2022, acting like you're the only one that knows history. I just gave you some historical components to look at. And then we're looking at this team right now, Eric Spoelstra. You go to four straight finals. You win back-to-back titles. The last title that you lost to the San Antonio Spurs, you lost to the San Antonio Spurs. D-Wade wasn't 100%. The first title that you lost to Dallas, LeBron James openly admits it was the worst that he had ever played in a championship round. I mean, come on now. And then on top of it all, with the bubble, with all these distractions and the level of discipline and commitment and fervor and everything that it requires, Eric Spoelstra got them to the NBA Finals, okay? And we're going to ignore the fact that this man is as great as he has been as a head coach. He's one of the best coaches in the game, and he clearly is one of the best coaches ever. And Pat Riley validates that, because when there was speculation as to whether or not the Stars would want Eric Spoelstra to be their coach, Pat Riley made it very clear. He ain't going any damn where. Eric Spoelstra's one of the best in the business. You better recognize, doggy.
Well, first thing is, you're giving him credit for the bubble, but you don't give LeBron credit for winning the championship in the bubble.
That's not me.
So which one
give
is
him credit.
It?
Patrick Beverley didn't give him credit for the bubble. I give LeBron credit for the bubble.
Yeah, D.R. was an impossible title. So you can't give Spoelstra the credit for getting to a final and then blow off the fact that LeBron hasn't done anything in L.A. and they should trade him.
I didn't say that.
You said you should get rid of him 2 weeks ago.
I didn't. Excuse me? What'd you say?
LeBron, you said the Lakers should trade him.
Hold on. Time out. See, you misrepresent. You're being slick.
That's what you said.
No. What I said was, it should be considered because he is so great, he's the only asset they have, so you can get parts for him because you're not winning with him with the rest of the people who you have around him.
Yeah,
that's what I said.
Is
that not factual?
May I continue?
Yes, you may.
Did you forget about Raleigh's job with the Knicks? And he won a championship in Miami.
Did you forget about that?
Don't sit there and tell me that Hardaway and Mourning and the Miami team was that great.
Who did he have in Miami?
That was not a great team.
Who did he have in Miami?
He had Mourning and Hardaway. That was not a great team.
No. He had Mourning, he had D-Wade, and he had Shaq.
Shaq was old and Wade was a young player.
He wasn't that old yet. What are you talking about?
Shaq was 40. Tell me that Shaq was in his prime when they beat Dallas in 06?
But he was still the diesel. He was still the diesel. He wasn't what he was in Boston and Cleveland. He was still the diesel. Come on now.
Take it easy. That was not a great team.
Hold on. Dallas blew
that series. You know that better than anybody.
Stop it. First of all, no. D-Wade averaged 37 and a half four games of that series.
I love Bennett, but Bennett put D-Wade at the line in game three down 2-0 to make free throws, and that killed Dallas in that series. But forget that.
Are you questioning the greatness of Dwayne Wade in that series?
No, I'm not. No,
all right,
not.
Then.
But that was not a great team.
D-Wade put on
the
show.
That was not a great team. That was not a great team.
Excuse me.
That 06 Miami team was not a great team.
The Miami Heat, you had a defensive wizard in Alonzo Mourning that the Dallas Mavericks wanted no part of. They wanted Shaq to stay on the court because Alonzo Mourning was such a force defensively. Shaq obviously was still a force offensively. D-Wade was a superstar. Antoine Walker and those boys could ball. What are you talking about?
That was not a great team. That Mavericks blew a 2-0 lead in that series. They never should have lost. But forget that. We're going to the coaches. All right, Jackson went to the Lakers after he won the championships with the Bulls, and they were down 13 early in the fourth quarter in Game 7 against Portland with a very young team. They hadn't won yet with Shaq and Kobe, and he kept that team together. They came back against Pippen and the Trailblazers and won that title. Right there, he was worth every penny They paid him. And that showed you why Jackson is a superb coach. You got a moment like that for Eric? You got a moment like that when he was in dire straits and he figured out a way to calm everybody down and don't compare him to Auerbach. Will you please? That's not fair. You're going to compare him to Red Auerbach?
So I can't answer the question?
You can't be doing that.
I can't answer the question. So you just go talk. You ain't gonna let me counter. So the moment that you're talking about with Portland, where Kobe threw the alley-oop to Shaq and sealed the deal at the Staples Center before it became Crypto.com Arena, whoever the hell came up with that idea, oh my God, don't get me started with that. But nevertheless, you had Portland, they had them on the ropes, they had them 15 down, the Lakers came back led by Shaq and Kobe, closed the deal en route to their first title ever. So you want to give Phil Jackson credit for that?
Absolutely.
But we don't want to give Spoelstra credit for when Ray Allen was in the game and he capitalized off the fact that Greg Popovich foolishly had Tim Duncan on the bench. Chris Bosh grabs the offensive rebound,
and they got a
feeds it to
shot.
Ray Allen, and Ray Allen drills the three ultimately to put them in overtime in the seal and ultimately force a game seven. We don't want to give Eric Spoelstra credit
it's
for that,
different...
but we want to give Phil Jackson credit for what he did, right?
Steve, it's a different team. The Lakers were a young team that hadn't won anything yet. They were a fractured team against a very good Trailblazer team. The Heat had already won a championship with Bosh,
Wade, defending champions.
And LeBron, and
they
Ray Allen. It's Time a out. Different kind of team.
Last point. They were defending champions at the time going up against a champion. See, Portland hadn't won. The Lakers hadn't won. In this case, Miami had won, and years earlier, San Antonio had won. So what they did against the champion. Thank you very much. Case closed. Let's move on.
Fair point.
You're damn right it is.
Fair point.
You're damn right. See,
you don't need to compliment him. He'll do that for himself.
Hey, Molly, just because the outfit is looking nice and the hairdo is slamming don't mean you got to side with Doggy, okay?
Well, I have to say something. If he's wrong, he's wrong. Hold on, that's a great compliment, Stephen A., because my hair person didn't show up, so I did this in about 1 second.
Good job. I'm glad.
Good job. Thanks.
Good
awesome.
Job. 2 weeks ago when I was gone, not so much. But today, fabulous.
See, you couldn't just give me the compliment.
No, you couldn't.
It had to be backhanded. It had to be. Okay. Carrying on, gentlemen. We got a game tonight. Western Conference Finals, Game 1. I cannot wait for this. Luke versus Steph. Let's get it. The crown potentially for best offensive player on the line after this series. So Luka did just about everything for Dallas, right? In the West Semis versus the Suns, including 5 straight 25-point double-doubles. He joins a trio of Hall of Famers, including 2 of the most dominant forces in NBA history, to do it age 23 or younger. Mad Dog. Has Luka proven he's the best offensive player in the association, sir?
Listen, he is a with the players that he is playing with, he is a tremendous player. Not only that, we talk about these top 5 point guards. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, making a big deal about Chris. This guy is going to be, you put him on the list right now. This guy is going to be an all-timer.
He's a dog.
This guy is an all-timer. He is going to be one of the all-time greats in the history of the sport.
He might become an immortal.
He might be.
He might be already.
The guy's 22, 23 years of age, and he's not exactly working with great players around him. Resourceful team, but not great players. He ripped the heart out of the Suns the other night, and that's where I want to get to with him for a second. What you like about Doncic, he's got a little Larry Bird in him. You know, Larry Bird, he was so arrogant because he knew he was so good that he enjoyed beating you.
Yeah.
He laughed at you. He took your heart out and said, nah, get out of here. He'd rip his grandmother's arm off to win. And Doncic has got a lot of that same personality. He's fearless. He's averaging 40 points a game in elimination games so far in his career. He destroyed the Suns. He plays back to the basket. He can do that. He can shoot threes. He's an excellent passer. I mean, he is a tremendous player. Now, I don't know what Stevie's going to say about Curry.
Yeah.
If you're asking me right now, he's better than Curry. Because he could do more things. Curry can't play back to the basket. And Curry, when he didn't have Thompson and Draymond and all those guys, last year they got beat by Memphis. He is playing with nobody. And he just beat a team that had 64 wins, 8 wins more than anybody else, and he didn't just beat them.
Yeah.
He had 27 points in the first half and embarrassed the point guard who scored 1 point and was a disaster. Don't, this guy is so good. And so, he is, yeah. I'm telling you right now, write it down. I'll say it. I don't care what you say. You can laugh at me. I'll be back in 15 years. We'll rehearse it. This guy at the end of the day is going to be a top 10 player in the history of the NBA. That's how good. That's how good.
Top 10 in the history of the NBA, and he might become an immortal.
Yes.
Okay.
That's how good he is.
Stephen A., I don't know about that grandmother's arm analogy, but everything else was excellent.
Okay.
Stephen A.?
I don't rule out the superlatives that Doggy just, you know, echoed about Luka Doncic and what he will end up being. I don't rule that out. I think that when we look at Luka Doncic, we can see all of that. But when we talk about the best offensive player in the NBA at this moment in time, I don't give a damn that he's playing and Kevin Durant is not. He ain't a better offensive player than Kevin Durant. You can cancel that dream. You stop that nonsense. The best offensive player on the planet Earth is Kevin Durant. There is not an offensive player that is better than Kevin Durant. You can scratch that dream. When I look at Luka Doncic, I will remind y'all, even though it's 46, 47, 45% from the field over the last 3 years, averaging, you know, close to 28 a game and stuff like that, we know he makes big shots. We know how talented Luka is. We know he's got tons of heart. He dictates pace. You don't speed him up. He doesn't play at a fast pace, but you're not going to dictate how slow he goes or how fast he goes. He's the one that dictates that because he is special. He is no Kevin Durant. He is a career 73% shooter from the free throw line. He is a career 33% shooter from three-point range. I would remind you, we are talking about freaking Kevin Durant here, okay? 6'11 with a 7'6 wingspan who is an absolute positive sniper. He can hit you from threes. He's got a mid-range game that's second to none. You look at that. He obviously can finish at the basket, stuff like that. He got a little fatigued in the end with all the drama and nonsense that he had to deal with this year in Brooklyn. I will remind y'all, before Kevin Durant went down with his injury that kept him out about 17 or 18 straight games, the Brooklyn Nets were tied without Kyrie Irving, with a hobbled, out of shape, and unfocused or non-committed James Harden. Kevin Durant had the Brooklyn Nets tied for the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, ahead of Miami, ahead of Milwaukee, ahead of Philadelphia, ahead of Chicago, ahead of them all. This was Kevin. This is Kevin Durant we talking about here. Two-time champion, two-time NBA Finals MVP. Now, what's going to knock, the ultimate thing that knocks Kevin Durant is the misguided loyalty, because he is loyal to a fault when it comes to Kyrie Irving. Instead of holding him accountable and making sure that brother is on the court with you, obviously that's something, that's a different subject for another day. But in terms of strictly ball skills, Kevin Durant is the greatest offensive player on the planet. There is nowhere you can go. There is no one you can find that is a better all-around complete package of an offensive player than Kevin Durant is. Athleticism, ball handling skills, long-range jump shooting, mid-range jump shooting, open court ability, everything. Don't give me no Luka Doncic when it comes to Kevin Durant. Stop that.
Listen, you must have missed the Celtics series. I don't know where you were. Sauncing around South Beach, where he was. And I love Durant. I love him like he does, like Stevie does. I love Durant. I'm a big Durant fan. I love the guy. He just comes to play. Is he a great leader with Irving? Stevie's right. Of course he isn't. But I love him. But be fair. Be fair. That performance against the Celtics was awful. And don't sit there and tell me about the Celtic defense. I don't want to hear it. I just saw Jimmy Butler score 41 last night. All right? I don't want to hear about this Celtic defense or they stopped the ramp, blah, 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 blah. I've never seen Doncic play a game like that. And if you're going to bring up last year in Milwaukee when he had the 48 in game five, Doncic should have, if he decided he wanted to play, he would have scored 60 on Sunday night. He would have scored 60. He would, not yet. He would have scored 60. Laugh, that was funny. He would have scored 60. I love Durant, but did you miss the four games? He was awful in the opening round. You got to be fair and at least throw that in the equation.
I am being fair. And I'm saying to you, he absolutely had an awful series. I think conditioning was a fact. I think the fact that he had limited help was a factor. I think the fact that he was playing with guys, particularly a star in Kyrie Irving that hadn't been there more than half the season, was a factor. I think a lot of stuff caught up with them. And you saw Kevin Durant. And this is the one thing, and you'll appreciate what I'm about to say, Doggy. Tell me when this, if there's one indictment that we can have on Steve Nash above all else, tell me one easy shot that Kevin Durant has had. When you look at the absence of movement of the basketball, questionable spacing, it's like, okay, Kyrie, okay, Kevin Durant, you're the stars. Take us there. As opposed to opportunities being created. You see other coaches like the Spoelstras of the world and others creating sets where you guys are getting open shots. They're not just getting the ball. They're actually getting open shots. That's one component. The other thing to take into consideration, let's go to Jimmy Butler last night. Sensational performance in game one. 41 points in 41 minutes. The brother did shoot 18 free throws now. He got to the free throw line. He clearly is stronger than Kevin Durant. He's willing to play with the back to the basket, and the attention on the perimeter that a Kevin Durant would require, that's not Jimmy Butler. So you find yourself in a situation where he can muscle you a little bit, but you're not paying rapt attention to him the way that you do to a Durant on the perimeter. He goes down near the block or 15 feet and in, and what is he doing? He's turn around jumpers, posting you up, getting to the free throw line, stuff like that. And that worked in his favor. So he poses a different problem for Boston than Kevin Durant does, because he's clearly more physical, because he's stronger, considerably stronger than a Kevin Durant, and that's what comes into play. I'm talking skills, offensively speaking. Think about who we're talking about here. We're talking about a dude in Kevin Durant that is, not will be, one day, and when all is said and done, blah, 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 he already is one of the greatest offensive talent the history of the game has ever seen. And there is no doubt about that.
No argument. Who's arguing? Well, you have not yet. Don't give me about the physicality. He was, be fair. He was awful against the Celtics.
They were awful. The whole team was awful.
He had no help. He's got to take a hit for that. Steve, you got to take a hit for that. If you're Durant, you got to take a hit for that.
No. He is taking a hit. He is taking a hit for that. But that don't mean you take the kind of hit that says Luka Doncic's better. No, you're going too far. You're going too far. I'm not saying Kevin Durant doesn't deserve a hit, but you know why he takes a hit, Doggy? Because our expectations of him is not what he lived up to. But that don't mean we forget why we had those expectations. This brother's Kevin Durant. Fall back and recognize he's Kevin Durant.
Okay. The two of you.
I love him.
I mean, I love it. And now we're bringing in Pat Bev. That's a lot for me.
Boy.
But you know what?
Oh,
it's okay. It's okay. I can handle it.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We'll keep it going here, guys. Monday, ESPN released its NFL power rankings for the upcoming season as voted on by our reporters. So here's how the list came out. The Bills at number one, followed by the defending champions, then Brady's Bucks, the Chiefs, and Packers rounding out the top five. Mad Dog, which team do you think should be numero uno?
I think you have to put Kansas City there. I would not put the Bills number one. I mean, they lost to the Chiefs, obviously, badly, and a terrible job by McDermott. We all know what happened in a playoff game. I understand the Bills are a very trendy team right now. Josh Allen opened up against the Rams on the first Thursday night.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Chiefs have won. They've been to two Super Bowls, and they have won one already. And I'm going to give Mahomes a little bit of a pass for that awful second half against Cincinnati when he was terrible in the game. And he's the reason they lost. He's earned that. So he gets a mulligan. So I'm going to put the Chiefs.
No Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, I understand that, but I don't worry about that with Andy Reid. You know, they brought Schuster in from Pittsburgh. I know Hill's great, but they've figured that out. I'm not worried about his offense. I would put Kansas City one. The other thing I would do there, and then Stevie will fire back and kill me, I'm taking the Rams out. I think the Rams last year, everything went right for them. They got they beat Tampa. Tampa was a little older. They got through that game. Aaron Donald won't be quite as good. Beckham's got the ACL. No draft picks. I think they'd be a little flat after they won. I was so emotional. I think that will take a little something out of them. And they got a brutal schedule. You know, they play at Kansas City, at Green Bay, just for starters. So I would take them out of the top five entirely, and I'm putting Kansas City ahead of Buffalo. Those are the two things I'm doing. Go ahead. Let me hear.
I wasn't even going to bring up the Rams, but I just want to make sure for clarification purposes, because I'm talking to Mad Dog Russo. We're talking about an iconic figure in the world of sports who has his own channel. His own channel with a bunch of dudes. You understand that watch everything he does, and they watch it First Take now because they dissect every damn segment. I hear them calling into your show. I listen. Let me ask you this question. Did you just say on national television?
Yeah, I did.
You don't believe Aaron Donald is going to be as good?
No, I think he's a great. No, I just think there's going to be a little after hangover. That's all. Simple.
A little. From Aaron Donald. Aaron, the monster that is Aaron Donald.
He's
that
great.
I know.
Oh,
my God.
Were they fortunate to beat the Rams? I'm sorry, to beat Tampa. They could have lost that game.
What do you mean, were they fortunate? That's what you want to call? You want to call Stafford connected with Kupp on a fly pattern down the field to seal the deal? You want to call that luck? I don't call that luck. Now, they did give up a 27-9 lead. I get all of that. And Tom Brady came storming back. And there were a couple of mishaps, like the snap that went by Stafford when he wasn't looking. So there was a miscommunication there. So some luck went in the Tampa Bay's direction. But when it really, really counted, and all you needed was a stop, what did Stafford and Kupp do?
Great. Yeah,
what does Stafford and Kupp do? That ain't 100%. Luck. That's 100%. Skill. Okay, that's number one. Number two, what about the Super Bowl? Because this is what I wanted. And I fantasized about this, Doggy. You weren't here. But I fantasized about this. Everybody's been making all of this noise about Joe Burrow, who I think is a stud. I think the brother can play. But I wanted to see. I was praying that Stafford and them boys would score the go-ahead touchdown so we could see Joe Burrow against that Rams defense and Aaron Donald. And give us what you got. Let's see who's going to steal a deal. And what did Aaron Donald do to seal that deal on those last four deaths? I mean, we talk about Aaron Donald here, okay? One of the greatest ever. And you're like, oh, there's going to be a Super Bowl hangover. There's going to be a Super Bowl hangover. They're ridiculous. Utterly ridiculous. Now let me get to the Buffalo Bills.
Go ahead.
They lost in the divisional playoff game to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
42-36. Josh Allen couldn't get the ball back. I'm one of those guys, just so you know, doggy, I am a proponent of, I mean, come playoff time, I don't want to hear that, okay, the first touchdown wins, okay? In other words, I don't mind that when both of them touch the ball. But I don't like the fact that at least you could avoid somebody touching the damn football in overtime. This notion, well, guess what? You had 60 minutes to win the game. Damn that. Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes are going against one another. Just like 3 years earlier or so, it was Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes going up against one another. And Patrick Mahomes had to sit on the sideline while Brady drove the Patriots downfield and got the winning touchdown without him ever seeing the field in overtime. I don't like that. When you got stars like that, I want to see them going at it. I want to see both of them touch the ball in overtime. But I bring all of that up to say this. Josh Allen is big time. Devil Singletary is no scrub out of the backfield. You got Jameson Crowder that's there now as a wideout to join Stephon Diggs. That offense was ranked top 3 overall, top 10 in passing, top 6 running the football. And the defense isn't too shabby. Now, I know that's a bad thing to say, considering Leslie Frazier and McDermott and that defense couldn't stop the Chiefs from getting in field goal range in 13 seconds. I know that's a catastrophe. I get all of that. But in the end, the Buffalo Bills have put us all on notice. They are coming. And I'm not going to put anybody ahead of them right now, especially when the Chiefs let go of Tyreek Hill. I know you got Juju Smith-Schuster. I know you got a couple other weapons. You still got Mecole Hardman. You still got Travis Kelce, my brother from another mother. But I'm here to tell you, you lose Tyreek Hill, things are going to change. I'm rolling with the Bills as the top seed in the AFC. They're the top team to beat.
First off, 13 seconds with that terrible job by McDermott, plus the kicking the ball deep.
And Leslie Frazier.
He's got to win some games here. That was an atrocious performance. And if you're going to go make such a big deal about the Rams, why don't you put them one? You put the Bills ahead of the Rams, and the Bills lost in the quarterfinals, and the Rams won the whole thing, and you're killing me on the Rams, and you got them too.
No,
put them on.
I'm killing you on what you said about Aaron Donald.
Why do you have the Bills ahead of the Rams?
No. What I'm saying to you is this. First of all, I don't put the Bills ahead of the Rams because I think the NFC is considerably weaker. But what I was addressing with Doggy was what he said about Aaron Donald. I wasn't even addressing the Rams. I'm just saying, you said that about Aaron Donald. What's the matter with you? That's crazy. You don't talk about Aaron Donald like that. This is Aaron Donald we're talking about.
Didn't he tell us the day after the Super Bowl that he was thinking about retiring?
So what?
Okay, no, that doesn't matter.
So
Donald. Who's better
with
than
you?
Aaron Donald on defense. Guess what?
Everyone's ganging up on Donald.
No, I'm just trying to be a voice of reason.
Hey, Doug, can I ask you a question, Dougie? Were you always planning on going to Ireland for vacation? Or did the wife help you change your mind? Were you always planning on going?
I was planning on going. Week ago.
I'm just saying, people change their mind. I'm just saying that people change their mind. You know what I'm saying? He can't change his mind. He can't sit up there and say, okay, I think I'm done. And then I say, okay, let me reflect on this. I'm having a good time.
And then
I'm a reigning defending champion. I'm going to come back.
Most of your team returns, and you're like, let's run it back.
You don't think there's any hangover effect with the Ram team that was somewhat fortunate to win a Super Bowl?
Let's back it up.
Why would you say fortunate to beat San Francisco?
Zach Taylor wasn't Vince Lombardi as far as the play calling was concerned. Am I right, Mr. Smith?
Let's say he wasn't terrible. He was terrible against the Patriots. He wasn't terrible in this particular Super Bowl. That is not true. That's number one. Number two, they did what it took to get it done. And remember, Odell Beckham Jr., who I believe would have been Super Bowl MVP had he not gotten hurt the way he was playing in the first quarter. I'm sorry, had he not gone down, they'd have blew him out. So every down, once he goes down, Robin Woods is already down. You got a key on Cooper Kupp, and where Stafford had to go with the damn football. You had no running game. Akers and those boys weren't 100%. Odell Beckham Jr. goes down. Woods had been down. All you had was Kupp. And they still found a way to win a damn game. I mean, come on, doggy. I think you're being a bit unfair to the Los Angeles Rams. I think you're being a bit unfair, buddy. I really do.
He loves L.A., loves McVay, so now we... Yeah. You got to be careful. If you love him so much, put him one! Put him one! Show me something! You put the Who's Bills there who blew a lead against Kansas City.
Did you say show you something? How about this? They're the reigning defending Super Bowl champions. Is that enough evidence for you?
All right, let's go. I need a new espresso.
Unbelievable.